It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everybody. God bless each one of you. It is April 16th, and it's Sunday. Happy New Week. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1. May God bless you today. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We thank you for your loving protection throughout the night. And now we pray for your spirit to come and abide with us. We ask that you would anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help us to continue to grow in grace and wisdom as we study out your word. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song, our opening song is It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
It's about time.
We're studying the gospel in 1 Peter chapter 1, the gospel in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for the love of God that is so far-reaching and indescribable and hard and impossible to fully decipher and understand, but yet we can appreciate it. We love you for it. We ask that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He calls God's people strangers. Friends, the reason why he calls them strangers is not that they were strange to him. It's just that he recognizes that when we give our hearts to God, we're strangers to the world. The world is strange to us. We're strange to it. They don't understand. And the further we get closer to God, we don't understand why they won't come too, because we've experienced the joy. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my children fight. So my brothers and sisters, all these secular battles, political battles that we get into, fighting over which team's going to win, betting over who's going to win the finals or whatever it is. Friends, we have to give up all this worldliness. We're supposed to be strangers to this world. We need to spend more time with God, and we will be strangers of this world. The things of earth will grow strangely dim, as the song says. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Notice that it talks about the foreknowledge of God. Some people believe that we are destined, predestined, and whatever you're predestined to be, that's what you will be. So if you're predestined to be lost, there's nothing you can do to be saved. They use verses like this, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. But notice, that foreknowledge is through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. That means everybody can be sanctified through the Spirit and obey. God's not going to bring you into this earth and make it possible for you to obey. And therefore, sanctification, the goal of it is perfect obedience. So a lot of people say, I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, and they're not obedient to a lot of things God has said. We want to eat what we want to eat, dress how we want to dress, go to church how and when we want, where we want to go to church. Friends, we have to understand the reason why God is called the Father and Jesus is called Lord, and then there is the Holy Spirit, is that they all have different functions. God the Father is the supreme one. The Lord Jesus Christ is our supreme commander. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So when you call Jesus your Lord, you're saying everything you ask me to do, every aspect of my life, I want it to be in harmony with you. So, friends, we have things to change. You can't just say I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, and then you do whatever you want to do. That's not how it works. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The resurrection was not to change the Sabbath day to Sunday. That did not do that, my friends. That's why Jesus said, pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. That means when you have to be persecuted, both in the last days and also the persecution that would come upon the Jewish nation several years after his death. When the Jerusalem would be destroyed in AD 70, those were well after the cross, and he wanted them to still be keeping the Sabbath. He said, pray ye that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. So, my friends, the Sabbath is not done away with at the cross. The resurrection did not change the Sabbath. To an inheritance incorruptible, verse 4, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, the inheritance that we have, there will be no corruption there. There'll be no more sadness. There, the book of Revelation says in heaven, in Revelation 21, there'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's the kind of inheritance we get. It's incorruptible. So guess what? If it's incorruptible, why are we so quick to run to corruption? We're basically showing that we don't want to go there. Friends, you have to be pure in heart in order to see God. God is not going to change us morally. Read Revelation chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. Our destiny is already fixed before Jesus comes, my friends. And so now is the time to cleanse your hands, ye sinners, as it said back in James chapter 5. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We have a work to do, friends. We can't just say, oh, God's going to do it for me. No, he doesn't. He does for us what we cannot do by ourselves, which is forgiveness, but then he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves, which is forgiveness, but then he does in us what we cannot do by ourselves, which is obedience. Amen. We can't obey by ourselves, but we can obey, but we must work with him and put forth the effort. It said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. All right, my friends. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Brothers and sisters, sometimes lots of temptations will come. We should be rejoicing. What it says, greatly, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a time, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Why? Because verse 7 tells us that the trial of your faith being much more precious than fine gold, more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In other words, we have a great reward at the end when we persevere through the trial. Whom having not seen, ye love, talking about Jesus, in whom, though we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. We cannot explain what God does in the heart when we give our hearts to the Lord. It is an inexplainable miracle that takes place when you get a new heart, friends. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Oh, my friends, which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. My brothers and sisters, the Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24, 27. A lot of people like to emphasize this dispensational lie. And I call it a lie because they use this concept of a dispensation in a false manner. They think that, okay, they were saved a different way in the Old Testament, and now we're saved by grace through faith. My Bible tells me Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's back in Genesis 9. My Bible tells me that Adam and Eve were present when God spoke to the snake and told the snake that his head would be stomped on, okay? And that was the promise of salvation to them, my friends. Grace did not begin when Jesus died on the cross. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Faith didn't begin when Jesus came. The bottom line is, read Hebrews 11. They all had faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in that chapter that he couldn't even name them all. All those who were faithful had faith, friends. The only difference is that in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, God's offer is the same. That's what we have to understand. God's offer is the same. He only offered one covenant. There was a second because mankind made a separate offer that said, we can do it. In other words, in our strength, we can do it. Then after that, I believe it's Exodus 24, right after they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, Moses took an animal and spilled blood. So that blood ratified that covenant. So now you had two covenants coexisting. The first covenant, which is the new covenant, which was given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that's what he gave to his children. As a matter of fact, I can prove it to you. If you go to I may not be able to find it too fast, and we have a lot of verses to cover. But I will tell you, brothers and sisters, if you read the story of Exodus, in the story of Exodus in the early chapters, it says that God remembered his covenant with Abraham when they were suffering under the hand of Pharaoh, when he was causing them to make bricks and all that kind of stuff. The Bible said in early part of Exodus that God remembered the covenant that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means that's the same one he wanted to give to them. And that was before he gave the Ten Commandment law on Sinai. Abraham is used in the New Testament as it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, God said, I remember the covenant I gave with Abraham. Therefore, I'm going to deliver my people. Why? To give them a separate covenant? No. The covenant God gave to Abraham was that his children would be like the sand of the sea. That group of people that were persecuted in Egypt was that people, my friend. And so it was the same covenant. God only made one offer. It's just that man made a counter offer, and it got ratified, so there were two coexisting covenants. Then man broke his because he got a golden calf and started worshiping it and did all kind of crazy stuff after that. And so that covenant was built on faulty promises, the Bible says in Hebrews. And that those faulty promises were the promises of the people. God doesn't make faulty promises, friends. And so the new covenant is misunderstood by many people. It didn't do away with the Ten Commandment law. However, there were ceremonial laws that pointed forward to Christ. The Bible calls them in Colossians chapter 2, the law of commandment contained in ordinances in Colossians chapter 2. Read verses 14 and 15, friends. And then it even tells us, if you read further, that those particular ordinances pointed forward. They were a shadow of good things to come. There's nothing shadowy about the Sabbath. It was commemorative. It pointed backward to remind us and tell us who our Creator was, my friends. And so I just want you all to understand, most people who call themselves Christians do not understand the new covenant. They don't understand the old covenant. They think the old covenant had the Ten Commandment law. Oh, yes, it did. But so did the new. The Bible says of Abraham in Genesis chapter 26 that he kept God's commandments. That means God always had commandments, friends. If there were no commandments, then Adam and Eve didn't sin. God just hadn't put it in writing yet. But they knew what they were doing, and it was wrong. God has commandments. Anything God says, my friends, is his commandment. But those certain ones which pointed forward to Christ, they were shadowy, part of the ceremonial law, and that was done away with at the cross. Let's go back to Hebrews now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. See, there you have it. God is telling us through Peter that the Old Testament writers were talking about Jesus. That's why Jesus showed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So a lot of us think, okay, that's just the old covenant. No, they knew about Christ, but they knew that they were symbolizing certain aspects of his ministry, and those things were done away with. Unto whom, it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Peter said, from Genesis to Malachi, they were preaching the gospel. That's what Peter said. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That means watch and don't let your mind just wander into any subject, any avenue, friends. We got to gird up the loins. We got to protect the mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold for your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. My friends, we've been redeemed. That means we've been bought back. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are not, when we talk about the fact that they don't have the old covenant and the new covenant right, that does not minimize or diminish anything from the blood that Jesus spilled on Calvary's cross to save us. My friends, we cannot be saved without the covering of that blood. It is allowing us to be forgiven, allows us to have a change of heart. But the blood is not the only beautiful thing Jesus did for us. He is now our high priest representing us, because now that the blood is spilled, we have an opportunity to and a chance at a holy life. So God's going to see, do you accept the gospel or do you reject the gospel? And so he's not going to bring anybody in, because he's not going to force us in heaven. If somebody wanted to bring sin in heaven again, God has to make sure that none of us who get in would do that. But we have to prove faithful on this side of glory so he can bring us in, because he's never going to operate by force. Sin will not rise a second time, because God is going to do a faithful, through Christ, a faithful work of judgment. Speaking again of this, it says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Did you hear that? Purifying your souls in obeying the truth. Friends, if you don't obey the truth, you don't have a pure soul. I want you to think about that. If it says purifying your souls, seeing that ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth. The way you study the Bible is to make sure it hits home. Ask yourself questions when you see a powerful statement and a promise. If it says purify your souls by obeying the truth, then what if I don't obey the truth? Then I don't have a pure soul. Then my soul is not being purified. Then that means that I am stained unnecessarily, because it's willful, because I can obey the truth. The truth is what sets us free. Sometimes we go to church because a particular church because we like the social benefits. But if there is no truth, that's not true worship, my friends. Jesus said in Matthew 8, 17, I believe it is. No, Matthew 15, 8, I think it is. It says, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. When you teach that you don't have to keep the Sabbath, that's a doctrine, that's a commandment of man, and it's a lie. People are going to be lost in hell because they believe that. When people teach that when you die, you go straight to heaven and hell, that's a Roman Catholic teaching that passed on to Protestant churches. That's a lie, my friends, and it sets the foundation for deception, because in the last days, the devil's going to pull out all the stops, and you're going to see apparitions of dead relatives and so on and so forth telling you to keep Sunday and all that when the test finally comes, because the Bible teaches that a final test is coming, my friends. The beast in Revelation 13 is the Roman Catholic Church, my friends, and their mark is Sunday worship. Do you not believe me? I can read it to you if you'd like me to. Let me do a little bit of that real quickly, friends. This is directly from the Roman Catholic Church. They say, this is from the Catholic Record of London, Ontario, September 1, 1923. Sunday is our mark of authority. Catch that? Sunday is our mark of authority. We can prove to you that the beast of Revelation 13, 1 is the Roman Catholic Church. They came from pagan Rome. They had power for 1,260 days. They persecuted God's people. All that's in Revelation 13, 1 through 10. Okay? They blasphemed God, which means that they claim to be God on earth, or that their leader is God on earth, and that they claim to have power on earth to forgive your sins. You ever heard of confessional boxes? Okay, we have proof after proof after proof, friends. The dragon gave him his power, seat, and great authority. The dragon is pagan Rome and Satan, according to Revelation 12. And the scepter from pagan Roman Emperor Justinian was passed over to Pope Julius, and it went into effect, making him Pontifex Maximus. That means leader of head of church and state in 538 A.D. Okay, seven times in the Bible, their reign was given in prophecy that they would reign for 1,260 years. So the beast is Revelation, and all Protestants used to believe this, just so you know. Protestants used to teach that the beast of Revelation 13, 1 through 10, was the Roman Catholic Church. They say Sunday is our mark of authority. So if you're planning on going to church today, friends, you need to give that a second thought, because you are preparing to receive the mark of the beast. Here's the good news. Nobody has the mark of the beast, because that is a law that is coming. That is Bible prophecy, and we're about to see it. That's why there to do that in America, you have to confuse people on the Constitution. So this is how the Democrats confuse people. They say that the LGBT movement is a civil right. So who you decide to sin with and sleeping with is a civil right. That is the most ridiculous thing, friends, that I have ever heard. One of the most ridiculous things, okay? Because who you choose to sin with in sleeping and fornication, that's the foundation of LGBT, fornication. That's not a civil right guaranteed by the Constitution. But if you're a black person or a white person, or if you're a Asian person or a Mexican person, you can't control who you are. So if you're denied basic civil rights because of the color of your skin, whether you're black, white, brown, orange, red, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. It's wrong. Guess what else? You can't control the gender. You were born a woman, you are a female, born a male, you should get the same pay for doing the same kind of work. So if they give you less pay because you're female, that's a violation of your civil rights. You're doing the work, okay? So that's different. That's who you are. But who you choose to sin and sleep with, that's not a civil right. And so that confuses people regarding the Constitution, all right? And so now we got a constitutional right to kill babies, okay? That's another one, constitutional right. They call it reproductive rights. They never talk about the rights of the baby. How come they don't talk about the rights of the baby, friends? Something's wrong with that. And that's Democrat, okay? That's why I'm not a Democrat. So you might think I'm a Republican. I'm not a Republican either. Why? Because they try to make an excuse about what happened in January 6th. On January 6th, a riot took place and a sedition to overthrow the constitutional change, peaceful change of power, my friends. And most Republicans are too Republicanized to say what is true. It's the truth that sets us free. That's why Jesus said, I'm not into these politics, because they're not either one of them following truth. And both sides are confusing the Constitution. That's why when it's time for them to pass a national Sunday law, the Constitution will be so confused and in people's minds that they'll just go along. But the world is controlled by popular opinion. That's why people protest. They want to make the judges scared. They want to make the politicians scared of not getting the vote. And so they come in mass to pop to and they try to pretend on the inside that they're passing judgment fairly, but in actuality it's political. Notice what it says in the next quote. This is from H.F. Thomas, Chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons. Of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change, Sabbath, Saturday to Sunday, was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. They say this is our mark. So if you plan on getting to church and wearing your Sunday best, you need to understand you went to church one day late, okay? And you went to church on a day that God did not sanctify, and you're going to church on a day that was changed by the Roman Catholic Church. You're actually worshiping the Roman Catholic Church, because Jesus said, you're not worshiping me once you know better. Now, when you don't know, God accepts it, because he said he winks at our ignorance, but he says now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, I'm not saying, friends, we can go to church 7 days a week. We do have church here 7 days a week. The point is, if you are not keeping the Sabbath and you are choosing to go to church on Sunday and hearing error, my friends, when you go to church on Sunday, that's not worship. And the Catholic Church is happy about it. Let me read some more of what they say about you, okay? Because I can't say they say that about me. But I don't go to church on Sunday anymore. I used to. Grew up in Sunday school. But I know the truth, friends, and I don't go to Sunday school anymore unless God sends me there to go tell somebody some truth. And they're not going to keep me there too long. And I don't go unless I'm obliged to go. Okay? Notice what it says in this next quote. Is not every Christian obliged to sanctify Sunday and to abstain on that day from unnecessary servile work? Is not the observance of this law among the most prominent of our sacred duties? But you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures, this is Catholics talking, the scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctified. James Cardinal Gibbon, Faith of Our Fathers, 1917 edition. Let me read another one. For example, nowhere in the Bible do we find that Christ or the apostles ordered that the Sabbath be changed from Saturday to Sunday. We have the commandment of God given to Moses to keep holy the Sabbath day. That is the seventh day of the week, Saturday. This is Catholics talking. Today, most Christians keep Sunday because it has been revealed to us by the Roman Catholic Church outside of the Bible. That's the Catholic Virginian, October 3rd, 1947. I'll read one more. Written by the finger of God on two tables of stone, this divine code, Ten Commandments, was received from Almighty by Moses amid the thunders of Mount Sinai. Christ resumed these commandments in the double precept of charity, love of God and the neighbor. He pronounced them as binding under the new law in Matthew 19 and in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. The Catholic Church, on the other hand, after changing the day of rest from the Jewish Sabbath or seventh day of the week to the first, made the third commandment refer to Sunday as the day to be kept holy as the Lord's day. He, meaning God, claims one day out of seven as a memorial to himself, and this must be kept holy. The Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 4, Ten Commandments, 1908 edition by Robert Appleton Company. Now, let me tell you where they messed up. It's not a Jewish Sabbath. Adam and Eve weren't Jews. The Sabbath was made for man, the Bible says, and not man for the Sabbath. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work. He keeps the Sabbath, okay, which he had made and rested on the seventh day. He keeps the Sabbath and has a special date with us, my friends, on the Sabbath day. And so they call it a Jewish Sabbath. It's not the Jewish Sabbath. It's just that the Jewish people were God's people to bring in the Messiah. So he had them keeping all of his commandments. And then it says third commandment. That's because in the Catholic Bible, they take away the commandment that says don't bow down to idols. So the second commandment is missing. So that makes the fourth commandment the third commandment. Then what they do to have 10, they split up the 10th commandment into two, so they still have 10. So they have two different covet commandments, all right? So I have a whole bunch of these. It would take me the whole broadcast to read everything the Catholic Church has said. But I'm here to tell you, friends, we're going back to finish up. But here we have it. The Roman Catholic Church is who created Sunday worship and as a special day of worship. It wasn't created by Easter Sunday. No. That's Roman Catholic, friends. And you are keeping the Catholic movement day when you keep Sunday as a special day of worship and you don't use Sabbath as a special day of worship. Now, you may not have ever heard these things, and that's why the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, that God winks at our ignorance, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, you might even, friends, have met a Seventh-day Adventist or a Seventh-day Baptist or a Seventh-day Pentecostal, and you might not have heard these things. A lot of times they don't teach the truth even in these Sabbath-keeping organizations. They just want you to come and have a good time and all of that, friends, and they don't teach you the deep things as to why. So you are excused in the fact that your pastors in the past or some people you met in the past or whatever may not have told you these things, but I am here to tell you under my humble watch, you're going to know truth, my friends. You're going to know truth. Let's keep reading. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, we're born again by the word. I love that. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. The flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Again, Peter, I like what we said. This is the gospel in 1 Peter chapter 1. All right, my friends, we're going to go ahead and have our break time now, our intermission with the Torso song, and we will play that at this time. We'll be back after intermission, and we'll be talking about cancer and what fuels it. So hang in with us. We'll be back in about 8 minutes after our intermission song.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
All right, my friends, we're going to be talking about what fuels cancer today. What fuels cancer? What actually happens with cancer is the toxins that we have in our bodies that we don't eliminate, or that just come into our bodies, because you can have toxins that started off as good things, but if you don't eliminate them, they become toxic. They call it auto-intoxication. But the bottom line, we eliminate through the seven channels, like the colon, the liver, the kidney, the skin, the lungs, the blood, and the lymph. So, but then we have toxic chemicals and things like that. Some things are in food. And so when we don't eliminate these toxins, they damage our cells. When the cell wall gets damaged, it doesn't allow oxygen to come into the cell. Oxygen is needed inside the cell to make energy, but it can't make energy without sugar. So the combination of sugar, or glucose, sugar, and oxygen help to fuel the cell that makes the cell healthy. Just like a car needs gas and it needs air intake. If you block all the air from getting into the engine, it cannot produce combustion. If you don't have any fuel and you got plenty of air, it cannot produce combustion. The only thing the two of those need is a little spark from a spark, you know, from a spark plug, and then you can have an explosion, combustion, and controlled explosions is what drives your engine. All right, so when the cell is damaged, it doesn't get the fuel it needs. But unlike our car, it doesn't get the air intake that it needs. Unlike our car, the cell can actually still get energy, but it has to take the sugar and ferment it, okay? So the sugar is what ferments. When that fermentation takes place, it produces lactate, or another form of which is lactic acid. I like to use lactic acid, so because you know, understand it's an acid. The body says, hey, this is going to cause cancer, so it pumps it out of the cell. But as it circulates through the liver, because we eat a lot of animal products, which clog the liver, a lot of processed sugar, white flour products that clog the liver, because we eat a lot of high-fat foods that clog the liver is not able to turn that acidic acid, the lactic acid, into an alkaline substance. And so it just passes right through the liver as lactic acid and goes right back. When it goes back to the cell, then it becomes fuel for cancer. So the actual fuel for cancer is lactic acid, but the building blocks of that fuel is sugar, okay? So some people would say that sugar is the fuel for cancer. Yeah, you get it. I get it. But technically, when you understand what is actually happening, sugar produces the raw material for fermentation, which produces lactic acid, and it's that lactic acid that is the fuel for cancer. So if you want to starve cancer, get rid of the building blocks of sugar. And so my wife was, we were talking today or yesterday about, for some people, it may be important even for them to get rid of all sugars until they're better, including fruits, my friend. We can talk more about that at a later time. But the point being made is we're looking at vegetable meals more so for people with cancer, and even getting rid of grains, which they break down to simple sugars, even the whole grains, and just starving the cancer out, because you need that sugar in order to produce the fermentation, in order to produce the lactic acid, which is the fuel for cancer. So I've just given it to you, friends, and that's why, guess what? You can neutralize acid with lots of alkalinity. That's why we do a lot of juicing, okay, and vegetables. And for those who might not have cancer, fruits and vegetables are your alkaline substances, my friends. They keep our bodies alkaline, and that's so important to our systems, okay? So that is Cancer 101. I've given it to you. It's not hard to understand. When you can alkalinize, you basically neutralize the fuel. You get rid of the fuel for cancer, and eventually it's going to die and go away. If you don't give it the fundamental raw material for fermentation, which is sugar, then the cancer eventually will die and go away. That's why I'm not scared of cancer. We understand it, and we know how to stop it. Most people are scared of cancer, don't even want to say the word. But I'm going to say this about that, friends. If you don't say the word and you just say, I have the C, that's exactly what God cured. He cured the C. So go stand up in front of a bunch of doctors and give your testimony and say, yeah, God cured my C. And they're going to be like, well, you're what? Okay, well, but if you say God cured cancer, then, you know, that means that's going to mean something to them. So all I'm saying is you don't have to call it cancer, friends. I'm just simply saying the reality is it's nothing to be afraid of. God is much stronger than cancer, and the Lord has blessed us with things to help get rid of cancer. Another thing that we use, we do juicing, but there's also the use of molecular hydrogen. Talk to us about that. There is a machine that we can introduce you to that helps, if you breathe in that hydrogen, to also get rid of it. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why it works. Alkalinity is on a pH scale. Well, guess what pH stands for? The potency of hydrogen. So when you increase hydrogen, my brothers and sisters, you decrease the power of cancer. So what the machine does, it doesn't increase the potency of hydrogen. It just gives you more raw hydrogen, and it operates the same way. I used to be called an electrician, meaning that I've worked for an electrician. I'm not a master electrician, but I know basically the basics of wiring a house. I used to be called a plumber. I just tried to learn those things in the early days so that if I had to make tents as a pastor, that I would be able to support myself without flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. That's what they told me I would do if I left college. You're going to end up flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. These hands have flipped not a single hamburger, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, and I just give him all the praise. And so, you know, the bottom line is electricity can be expressed in voltage. That's the potency of the electricity. It can be expressed in amperage. That's the amount of electricity. And it can be expressed in wattage, the amount of power that electricity produces. It's the same electricity, just expressed in different ways. The same with hydrogen. The potency of hydrogen can help you, but if you just get more of it, then you don't need as much potency because you've got more of it. So the hydrogen generator just gives you more of it, so to speak. And so it's not going to change the pH. It just gives you more of the hydrogen. So that's that for those of you who want to inquire about that. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and give you peace on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's 8 minutes to the top of the hour, and we're going to do a roll call and open the phone lines. We start with Facebook, and we have Massachusetts. God bless Massachusetts and that person from Massachusetts, and Maryland. God bless you as well. And on the call, we have Ohio represented. We have Maryland represented. We have Delaware and Delaware and Delaware again, three times represented. We have, I like to say, they're well aware in Delaware. Praise God. We have Ohio represented. We have Iowa represented, and I need to talk to that individual in from Iowa so we can get something going that we talked about. And we have South Carolina represented, and we have Georgia represented. That is good. Phone lines are open. Press star 6. If you have any questions, comments, we'll go to Sister Desiree at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Fleming and Sister Maria. Thank you so much for that explanation on cancer. I mean, like, seriously, because I've heard so much about don't eat this, don't eat that, and it's like, what do you eat? But I appreciate that how if you starve something, starve the negative and feed the positive, that way it won't live. So
amen.
Thank you for that. And I'm asking for a special prayer for myself. I've been dealing with some microaggression here at work at a particular department. So I'm just asking for special prayer and for myself to stay in the faith. It can be challenging.
Amen. Amen. You got it, sis. And I want to ask we're going to pray for you, but everybody who listens to this broadcast, let's pray for these requests, my friends. We're all a family. Let's pray one for another. Thank you, sister. We will definitely pray.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to go now to, it's going to be Sister Winston. Good morning, Sister Winston.
Good morning, Pastor. I just want to say I thank God for bringing you into my life because you have blessed me in so many ways, and I know that God give you the true messages for us in these times. And I know yesterday I wanted to get on and speak, but at the time that I was going to call, then my phone started ringing, my landline phone, so I couldn't get on. But what I want to say is about Steve on the cross, where you were saying where the karma is. Uh-huh. I just want to say in the scripture, if you read Matthew 16:16, you know, when Peter, when God asked him who do they say he was, and Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, you know. And the Catholic people, this is where they get the fact that they think that the church is built up on Peter, you know. And if the way you read it, you can read that. That's another text that, you know, when you're talking about that you can show how it's written, you know. And we know that the church could not be built on Peter, you know. So I just thank you for all the messages and how God blesses you with the truth and everything. And one other thing that keeps me sad is my family. Oh. And my heart is broken. I try to tell them, but they don't listen. And it's sad, it's sad. But I know I only have to give an account of what I do, but I love my family. and my children, they don't understand when I try to tell them. You know, the way they go to church on Sunday, but people on Sunday don't even know how to keep it. They go shopping, they do everything they want to do on Sunday, and they think that they're doing what's right. And it's so sad. And my heart is so broken. But all I know that I have to do is keep praying for them. And God is going to work things out. But I know I just have to give an account of myself. So I ask everybody to keep me lifted up in prayer. Because I want to make it into the kingdom. But I know I have to do things God's way. And I thank God for bringing you into my life because I know you do speak the truth. And so just keep me and my family in prayer. And I'm sorry, you know, that that sometimes I just get so full because I want my family to be saved too. But my biological family, I know we are, you are my spiritual family, you know. But God is good to me, and so keep me in prayer today.
Amen, amen. I want to just simply say Jesus cares and that he loves you, and it's not over yet. A lot of people, when the Sunday law comes, they will come with questions. Hey, you were talking about this Sabbath thing. See, the Sunday law brings everything to a head and makes people make a final decision. So you just keep sharing, keep loving, keep teaching, and remember, the shortest verse in the Bible means that you are being like Jesus, for it says Jesus wept. Amen. So, my sister, we're praying for you. We definitely are, and we're praying for your children and your family.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we've got Sister Leilani on the line. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Good morning. I am going to be flying to Iowa on Tuesday.
Okay.
And while I was in Oklahoma, my dear sister Odessa gave me a copy of your immune booster book. And okay. So I'm really reading that and enjoying it, but I don't know how to get the little icons in through my phone to see the data.
Okay.
Like
Can I tell you that right away? Now, if you have, this is supposed to work. It's supposed to work with cell phones made after September of 2017. That's what's supposed to happen. You open up your camera like you're going to take a picture, okay? Like you're going to take a picture and then point it at the QR code in the biblical booster. Just a second. For those on Facebook, I'm just showing them what you're talking about. I wrote a book called The Biblical Booster, Boosting the Immunity of Our Global Community, and there's QR codes there. And so if I tell you something is in a particular video or on a particular website, you can go to that website, and there's over 150 QR codes, over 180 color pictures. It is full of original poetry, and it's 322 pages. For those who are interested, go to biblicalbooster.org. Put in TORSO15 to save $15 for that. So once you have your camera open, Sister Leilani, there's supposed to be an image, little yellow image that should come up. And then with your finger, you touch that yellow image, and that's what takes you to the video, the site, whatever we're trying to show you. So I have seen one person's phone that didn't do that, and we didn't know if it was settings because their phones, you know. But I think they had one of those. There are some phones that they make for the elderly. I think I forgot the name of the company, Great Something. Great Choice or whatever, and that's what they had. That's where their phone came from. So I don't know if there was some restrictions on that phone. But the typical phone, if you have a Verizon, a AT&T, you know, a T-Mobile phone, these things should work.
Thank you. And I was concerned about having my herbal pack sent up to Alaska because if it's got liquids in it, I won't be able to bring them home.
I'll give you the secret. You tell TSA that it's medication, and they will allow it to pass. Medication is allowed to pass, and they look like medication bottles. Our herbal extracts look like medication bottles, okay, just for the record. Now, that being said, you must be packing real, real light because, if you have something underneath the plane, it can definitely go. It's just that when you're going and taking liquids as a carry-on on the plane with you, that's when they restrict it. So if you are have the opportunity to just check a bag, then you could put those things in the bag. But I want to mention something to you since you brought that up. We just need to you to fill out a form, and that then we'll get the everything started that at that point. So I just wanted to mention that to you. So maybe we can get that going today or tomorrow.
Can you email that to me?
I surely can. I thought I had done that, but I will definitely definitely do it.
Okay.
Let me just verify something. Let me just check and make sure. I'm not going to say it out loud, but I just want to make sure. Okay, yes. I do have an email for you, so I will email you a link to that form. And what I will tell you is the last question on that form, leave blank, and it will tell you, you'll understand it when you look at the last question. It'll say if you've done something already, then leave every box blank. And so you'll understand that. Just keep that in mind. And then the other questions are very, very simple. And that helps us get that process started for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll reach out to you a little later today.
Okay. I'm having massage between 10 and 11 my time. So anytime after that.
My. Some of us are spoiled. We get it, sister. We get it. Praise God for a massage. Amen.
Yes, and pray for my masseuse because it is my granddaughter.
Okay.
And she has in the past gotten into some witchcraft and some dark things, and she seems to be coming around. And this is a time where we really can communicate better.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We will definitely pray for your granddaughter.
Her name is Shyla.
What is it?
Her name is Shyla.
Shyla. Okay. We'll keep Shyla in prayer. For sure. Thank you, Sister Leilani. Anything else?
Thank you for all your counsel.
Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, friends, we want to remind you that God is much stronger than the devil. And so those who are involved in any kind of occult witchcraft, and a lot of that is even in natural healing, some aspects of quote-unquote natural healing, God is stronger. They don't have the need of the soul met by Jesus. And so many have come out of that. And we want to pray for Shyla along those lines. All right, friends, well, a little bit past the top of the hour, that's fine. For those of you who want the Biblical Booster, it's biblicalbooster.org, or just contact me if you want to use Cash App or Zelle or something of that nature. Right now we're trying to get it out in distribution. It's $60, but it's $45 if you use Torso15 in the coupon code, biblicalbooster.org. All right. Turning it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to close us out at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. Lord, we lift up to you the petitions that have been requested. We pray for our dear sister, asking prayer for her work and the situations that are going on there. We pray that you would be with her, help her to stand strong and to stand firm on her beliefs, and help her, Lord, to be able to be an example to others as she patterns herself after you, Lord. We pray that you will give her strength and encouragement. We pray for the sister that has asked prayer for her family, our dear mother in Israel. We know that she loves her family dearly, Lord, and she wants to see them all be able to come to you. That is a prayer of all mothers that they have for their children who are wayward. And Lord, we just ask that you will just bless her in these efforts as she continues to keep her family before you. We pray for the sister asking prayer for her granddaughter. We pray, Lord, that as she goes through this time of the massage, that you will allow her to be able to minister to her granddaughter, to say the words that needs to be said so that it can penetrate into her mind and her heart as she listens to these words of wisdom. And we pray that she will have respect and support towards her grandmother and that this would be a special time of bonding for them. We ask that every heart on the line would be blessed in a special way as we continue to allow your spirit to lead, guide, direct, and instruct our lives. We thank you for this time, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.